Hey, this is Kristen Sherry, author, speaker, and creator of the UMAP Profile. And if you want to learn how to transform your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, significantly increase your revenue, and create scalable sales systems, you should be listening to the Authentic Persuasion Show with my good friend, Jason Cutter.
On the Authentic Persuasion Show today...
Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader.
Hey, this is Kristen Sherry, author, speaker, and creator of the UMAP Profile. And if you want to learn how to transform your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, significantly increase your revenue, and create scalable sales systems, you should be listening to the Authentic Persuasion Show with my good friend, Jason Cutter.
On the Authentic Persuasion Show today, I have with me Kristen Sherry. I'm going to try to get this right. Programmer turned business intelligence analyst turned operations leader turned L&D leader turned career transition coach turned entrepreneur. She is the creator of the UMAP profile creator and system, which helps uncover the secret sauce of each person, which I love. I can't wait to talk about. She's written so many books with more on the way, especially focused at helping children uncover their gifts earlier on in life, which I know for me, I really wish I had that growing up. Would have made life a little easier. Either way, I'm super excited for this. It will be tons of fun. Kristen, welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Thank you, Jason. Really excited to talk to you. I have actually only ever been on one podcast that was sales focused. And I thought, I have something to say, even though I'm not in a sales role per se. And so I'm excited to share sort of a business owner perspective.
And it's super interesting for me because I put you in the category of business owner. You're also, which we talked about right beforehand, you're actually a salesperson and you've finally embraced that role. Then you're also what I would call a service provider or a vendor because you're helping other people in their businesses with what you do because you certify coaches, you have training programs, you do all these things that is basically a vendor service. And so you see things like within your own company, within your own role, with what you see in other companies. The hardest part will be keeping this to 30 minutes if we can today. Super curious to start. Where did you get the idea for this, or how did the UMAP come about, and why did you take on developing this?
Well, I started as a coach myself, and I go into coach forums and say, what tools are you using? But everyone else in the forum was asking that question too. So we were all asking that question. So I thought, okay, well, even these people with all these certifications don't really know what the framework is, that winning framework. And so I started asking people, what are you trying to accomplish for your customers? Rather than just pick tools and force people through it, like, what are their goals? Maybe we should be thinking about this a little differently. So I interviewed about 2,000 people and I had these conversations with people and I just listened about what makes you really fulfilled in your career and what just brought you a lot of misery. And I started to categorize what people were telling me to find the themes. And that's where the four pillars of career fit came, not because I made up four, but that was the voice of the customer telling me these are the things that are the problem. And it connected to, I don't really use my gifting. I feel like I'm going against the grain of what I'm good at, or I feel really violated at work. I feel disrespected. I feel like people aren't honest with me. There was this anxiety around values violations. The third thing people would say always had an energy component. I'm really exhausted. I feel like I got hit by a dump truck at the end of the day. I don't feel like going anywhere. I just want a nap. There was all this energy language, and that was people doing burnout skills. And then the fourth thing was people saying, I just don't feel like this meets my needs, my preferences, my motivations. I'm not interested in this. And that sort of connected to who they were. Like, how do I like to work? Why do I work? What do I want to work on? And who am I? Those were the four questions. And so I thought, okay, what tools are out there in the market to tell me this? And I couldn't find any. So I started to try to patch things together. And finally I said, the heck with this. I'm going to have to create something that gives me what I need instead of trying to force people a square peg into a round hole. And I had no intention of sharing it with the world. But when my clients started sharing it with people, I started getting phone calls from recruiters, coaches, people in HR. Where did you get this? Can I use this too? And I thought, well, I guess I'm going to have to create a certification program. And before you knew it, in less than 2 years, I had certified people in 22 states and 7 countries around the world. And I just like, how is this happening?
Well, and it sounds like you found the secret sauce of helping people figure out their secret sauce, right? I mean, it's, you said it, it's the square peg in the round hole. I know from leading teams, hiring, unfortunately firing and or moving people around in organizations to get that right fit. Most people just don't know. I know I was that way. I felt like a leaf floating in the wind for a very long time in my life and beat myself up about it mentally. That was hard.
I relate to that. I feel like other people drove my career. I was not an architect of my career. People just sort of fall into things. And I'm not saying you can't end up with a satisfying career that way. Some people sort of hit it. But for me, it was just a path of misery from one job to the next that I didn't feel I was fulfilled.
Yeah. And are those people who find it and they're fortunate? It's kind of a lottery thing, where some people win the lottery sooner, some people win it later, some people never win it. And it's about experiencing things and trying things. Some people kind of accept an unhappy place for their life. One of the things I know that you have for managers is about teams being excited for Mondays.
Yeah.
I tell people all the time, if you on Sunday night, you have that dreaded feeling about Monday, then you're not in the right place and life is too short to be unhappy 5+ days a week.
Yeah, you really speak my language, Jason. I am picking up what you're putting down.
Yeah, it's such a big issue, which is why I love it. It's funny because long before I even knew who you were, I've actually used UMAP at a company with when a recruiting type framework. And so super fascinating. One of the things you mentioned to me before we started was you realized you were in sales. Tell me about that. Share with everyone what you mean.
Well, for the longest time, if you look at my UMAP, it says selling is in my burnout skills. But I have things that I'm naturally good at. So I have a strength called individualization that can see the unique strengths in people. And I'm very accepting of differences. So I don't treat people with a cookie cutter approach. I use a unique approach with people. And I have a strength in my top 10 called relator. So I can build genuine connections and I come across as a genuine, authentic person to people. So here I was thinking, well, I can't do the skill of selling, the going out there and doing the pitch. But I didn't realize I had other things in my UMAP, natural talents and abilities that enabled me to connect with people. And I didn't realize I was in sales until I actually took a look at how I was spending my time. I don't remember if I'd gone through an exercise at a women in business event, but they asked you to break down your day and how you're spending your day. And it was just this exercise they gave us. And I thought, I spend the majority of my time as an ambassador for my brand, for the coaches, for my books. That's sales. And it was just this wake-up call. And I thought, well, I'm not good at sales though, but I'm not good at sales. But yet I had this 90% conversion rate of prospects to customers. And I had people coming to me to buy, even though I hadn't reached out to them. And then all I had to do was have a conversation with them to answer some questions and listen to their needs. And I thought to myself, I'm spending pretty much all of my time when I'm not writing books selling. That is what I'm doing. But I didn't know it was selling because it didn't feel like selling. It didn't look like selling. It didn't smell like selling because selling is this. Hey, Kristen, wondering when we could hop on a call so I could tell you about our proven process that helps business owners like you increase your leads by 10 times. To me, that was sales because that's what everybody does to me.
Especially on LinkedIn. As you're saying that, I'm just imagining how many of those I get a day. as well. And I think that's what's interesting, right? Is that a lot of people see that as sales or think that that's sales and that's the only way to sell, or that's what it means to be a sales professional, which for prospective customers like you and that scripted example you just mentioned, they don't like sales or salespeople or the thought of sales because of that ideal, right? That vision of what it's like. And then they also don't want to be in sales because they don't want to be that person or have to use those strategies and techniques and sound like that. Yet, fascinating enough, and the way I end my show is everything in life is sales and you're selling something at all the time. It just depends on how and what your intention is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's interesting that you realized how much you were selling. And I love the fact that with your UMAP profile, which I can completely relate to because I'm the same way, where I don't feel like I'm selling and I didn't for the longest time, just connecting, relating, seeing people in a different way and then wanting them to get there, which when it's done right, that's what you should be doing in sales anyway, right? It's what's best for the other person. And can you help them get there or can you point them in the right direction?
Right. So all of my sales calls are different, but they have a pattern. So they're different because I gauge the person. Is this someone who needs me to small talk with them about life longer? I can sort of tell when people want to get to know me more. I just sort of pay attention to their vibe and their body language and their vocal. I'm a people reader just because of UMAP. And so I got on a call with a woman this morning. It was a Zoom and I could just tell she's very relational. So I'm just going to relax and we're going to talk about how is homeschooling going for you? Is your family keeping safe? And tell me a little bit about how has your week been? And I just sat and listened to her talk about her week and her noisy neighbors. And when I felt like she was at a place where she was comfortable with me, I said, how can we best use this time for you today? I'd like to hear about what you'd like to accomplish together. And I kind of gave her the reins to, did she want me to answer things? Did she want me to ask her things? And just kind of go from there. I just could tell from her personality, she would appreciate that, not just kind of like a bulldozer. I never bulldoze and say, here's about my product. Here's my certification. Here's my program. I say, talk to me about what you're currently doing. Who are you helping? And tell me a little bit about why you wanted to talk to me today. And then I just listen to them. And it's so funny because at the end, they feel so good. Even though they've done the majority of talking, they feel so good about getting out what their concerns are, or I hate the word pain points, but where they have some sort of a gap that they think I can fill. And they tell me all of the answers. So I don't need to go through some spiel about, I only need to say what they need to hear that's unique to their situation. I don't have a spiel, but what I have learned is I need to be able to explain my tool, my program, my framework in as few words as possible so that they can have the mic, so that they can do the majority of the talking.
I absolutely love all of that. There's so many lessons there for people in sales and something I'm talking about all the time, which is you want to be effective at sales. Your prospects have to feel like you care about them first, right? People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Best way to get them to feel like you care about them, hopefully you do, is ask questions, be quiet, listen, let them talk the majority of the time, right? Mm-hmm. Two ears, one mouth. They don't need monologues. They don't need the brochure. They don't need all that, especially in the beginning. At the end, maybe when you're ready to tell them how you can help and why, and then where you're going next. But I love that you just ask questions. Whether you call it pain points or discovery or probing, everyone wants to use different terms. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to find that gap. You're trying to find how you can help them. And I bet on your calls, you probably have a lot of calls where you don't even explain what you do until deep into the conversation.
I find most people have a very decent understanding before they've even got on the call because there are so many ambassadors promoting the program, because I view my relationship to go way beyond the sale. So the coaches I certify, for example, I serve them way beyond the certification. I'm always thinking of business ideas for them, ways they can grow their business using UMAP. I'm creating new resources for them. We have a LinkedIn group. We have a monthly call where we get on the call and help one another. I've created a community, and these coaches have become friends with one another. Any certification I ever had, I went to a training. None of us were like really introduced to one another beyond some silly icebreaker they had us do, but they didn't provide us each other's contact information. They didn't host anything or house anything where we could get in touch. It was just sort of on you, of the person you sat next to. I've really built a community. And so there's this family feeling. And so what happens is all of these people who've been certified, they're the ones out there being an ambassador for this tool that has transformed their own business. I always say that people have to feel like you gave them more than what they paid for. Mm-hmm. So I think my friend Bob Sager was the one that first taught me that lesson. And I always try to really serve and add so much value to the coaches. So they're really the ones that are out there selling, because they're just speaking from their heart on how they feel about the program. So I don't really have to sell, and I close. I'm a closer.
Yeah, that's awesome. And in there, another lesson, which applies for you, obviously, because you have these ambassadors and people are coming to you mostly because they know you or they've heard about you. But for everyone else, is the shift in general, where prospective people, before they talk to a salesperson, most likely has done research, has all of the information at their fingertips, and isn't looking for that salesperson to give them info or monologues or tell them a lot of info, especially in the beginning. They just want to know if you can help them or not. And I see so many salespeople that are still stuck in that classic mode of talking, right? They think their job is the sales pitch and the presentation. And most people don't need that anymore.
Yeah, I had a really good mentor. He wrote the book, The Ultimate Sales Revolution. I can't remember the subtitle, but he was the one that got my thinking differently about sales. And I actually tell this story in my book, UMAP, but if you're going to get your kitchen renovated and someone comes in and shows you all their tools, I have the very best T-square, I have the very best drill. It's the Megabit 1000, best, most advanced drill on the market. And they're going through all these tools they have and how they're the best in the market and better than their competitors. And then contractor number two comes in and says, tell me about what you envision for this space. How do you see your family spending time here? And how would you like to entertain? And what kind of memories do you want to create here? That's the contractor I'm going to hire. Someone who can help me see that they care about the vision, or they care about where I'm trying to get from where I am. Not, here's all my great tools.
Right. And or here's all the great things I've done, and you should hire me because I do great stuff, which that's important as the secondary confirmation. But to begin with, it's about that caring part.
And that should be coming from you ever. Those confirmations should be coming from your customers. The how great I am and how great my process is should come from your customers, not from you. It's like when people call themselves an expert.
Of course, right? That's why LinkedIn and job titles are so fascinating. So let's talk about the authenticity piece. Obviously, you spent a lot of time with personalities, behaviors, this whole framework that you've created and dove into. For you, how would you define authenticity?
So here's what the deal is of why people aren't authentic. Let's start there.
All right.
They have this idea that this is how something is done, and they've seen other people do it that way, or someone trained them to do it that way, and they're not starting from inside with who am I and what's my approach to building relationships, or, you know, to selling in general. So when you see people who are not being authentic, all they're doing is trying to do things or be someone they're not. And they might not even realize they're doing that. Someone just trained them. Here's what you have to do. But because they're not wired like that, it comes across very clunky and awkward, and it's just not genuine. So for example, if you're an author, I'm an author, but we don't write books the same way. And so if I'm an author and I have this webinar where I give people advice on how to write books, and I say, what you have to do is you have to wake up at 5 a.m. and you have to write for 3 hours, 5 days a week. I mean, maybe that person needs to get on a Zoom call and talk with a friend and have it recorded and then get it transcribed and then work with an editor. Maybe they're very extroverted and they can't sit for 3 hours. Maybe they're a night owl and they're more productive at night. So you have to know who you are and you have to know what your assets are. And that is going to help you be authentic because it's like breathing. It becomes natural. But people tend to lack a lot of self-awareness, so they don't even know who they are.
On that topic, why do you think people struggle with or lack the self-awareness from your experience?
Well, there's a couple of reasons for that. First of all, we're not objective about ourselves. We've been with ourselves from the day we were born. So it's that case of I can't see the forest for the trees. And because the things we do well come naturally to us, we assume anyone can do that because it's easy. So we don't recognize our gifts and our strengths as such. But then I'll say to people, think of a person that you know, any person. Now, I want you to tell me someone else who's exactly like them. And they can't. You might know someone who has a similar laugh or maybe has a dry sense of humor as well or has wild curly hair too. But you can't think of another person who's exactly like them. And I'll say people have that same perception of you. There is no one like you. The other thing is, I don't think we're encouraged to look within. When you look at students, okay, students, what are some jobs that look interesting to you? Sometimes it's even worse than that. What college do you want to go to? Well, all my friends are going here. And okay, what do they offer in their course catalog? Well, that looks good. And then they graduate and say, what jobs do you do with this? I mean, everything is putting the cart before the horse. You should start internally. What am I really good at? What do people say that I'm really good at? What's really important to me? What kind of an impact do I want to make? What are my values? You need to look at all that stuff and say, okay, here's what I'm good at. Here's my values. This is my personality. This is kind of my ideal day. What sounds like that out in the world? But we start at what's out in the world and where can I stuff myself? It's a completely backwards approach.
Well, and especially handed down from generations striving for stability. Let's say there was the Great Depression era and then the baby boomers after that. And it's like, okay, get a job, get a paycheck, have a retirement, just survive. Like, because the previous group really got punched in the face. And of course, that's what we're living through right now. But leading up to this, it's about, okay, where's stable? What's easy? What can I just do? Without that emphasis on your work life is so important and such a big part of your week, not even just your life, but your week. Like, what do you want to do? And where do you have the value? Not just where you're good at, but what do you have value in?
Mm-hmm. You spend a third of your life at work and you sleep a third of your life. So there's two thirds of your life in the can if you're not enjoying your work. I would say the final thing that happens for us to not be aware is the conflicting messages we get from other people. So I'm this adventurous, bold risk taker that sort of always wanted to be an entrepreneur. I'm saying this in role play, not me, although that is me. Parent who values security and stability. So they advise me, you know, you really should go get a government job because you'll never get laid off. Or don't go to work for yourself because 80% of consultants fail. And you hear people giving advice out of their values. So don't become an artist. You won't make any money. Meanwhile, this person may not even need much or value status or wealth or any of those things. So we get a lot of advice. And when I talk to people later in life about what they were interested in, they were always on the right track, but someone else talked them out of it.
So the other piece of this framework, which is the persuasion side, where have you seen persuasion fit into your success, going back to what you realize now is a sales role in what you do?
Mm-hmm. So persuasion is not naturally difficult for me by itself. When you tie it to someone else having to open their wallet, that's where I had an issue with it. But I lost 40 pounds over the last 7 months through some lifestyle changes. And a woman named Allison Buckland helped me do that through her program. And I was so passionate about how she changed my life. She gave me my life back. I had all kinds of health problems and they're all gone now. I was telling everyone about this program. I had no trouble influencing people. 12 people signed up to her program after I started spouting about it on the internet. But the minute she said to me, why don't you become a consultant? And in my downline or whatever, I said, I can't do that. She said, you would make so much more money. I said, you don't understand. The minute I know that I'm doing this for my financial gain, I'll stop talking about it. And she's like, well, that's a limiting belief. And I'm like, yes, it is. But I'm so passionate about it because I am just authentically, purely wanting to help people. And it has nothing to do with my benefit. Now, that doesn't translate to my own business because it's my calling. It's my legacy. So the passion I have for it is a little bit different than a lifestyle program, right? So I feel passionate about how it affected my life, but I have to really believe in something to be able to sell it. Because I'm the type of person that I'll just rather give you my book than you go buy it. I'm like, oh, I'll just send you a copy. I've gotten better with that. I have gotten better with that because I know it changes people's lives. So I feel like I'm going off on a tangent, but persuasion doesn't come naturally to everyone. So what people have to do is you can persuade, but indirectly. So for example, if you are a person who is very responsible and accountable and trustworthy, you're going to persuade by example. And that's the approach you should take. Do you lead by example and then people follow you? Or do you persuade one person at a time and you persuade through encouraging people, investing time in people, by being easy to get along with, by being someone who just comes across very genuine? So you can persuade, but that wasn't your intent. Your intent was to build a relationship. Your intent was to lead by example. Or perhaps you use a more intellectual approach where you help people have breakthroughs through your ideas, through strategy, through curiosity. So you really have to know what's in your toolbox and use what's in your toolbox, because trying to be persuasive as a direct end result is going to blow up in your face if that's not your comfort zone. It's like trust. You don't go after trust directly. You don't go after love directly. I'm going to make you love me. I'm going to make you trust me. No, you do other things, and love creates and trust creates. That's often the case with persuasion. It's not something you're going at directly in all cases. It's persuasion is the outcome.
And when you see somebody who is, their goal is to persuade, and that is their goal, then a lot of times that's what feels like the sales pitch and the push, where you can feel that. And I think there is a real balance there, like you said, where for the weight loss, you wanted to share it and you wanted to persuade people, but there's no monetary thing in there. And I think maybe that's because it wasn't you doing it. So you knew that you couldn't control the program, the results, like it wasn't your thing. You were selling for somebody else.
Right.
And also very personal, obviously something limiting in there, like you said, but when it's your baby and you know it can help people and you stand behind it because you've seen it in action enough, mm-hmm. then that persuasion takes a different approach, obviously, for your business, which mm-hmm. I think is fascinating that you shared that. And I love too the tie-in with the authenticity piece, which is however you persuade and what you focus on. And that's what I teach people. Like, I'm a super analytical. I would create spreadsheets for clients, which would then freak them out because it would send them into analysis paralysis. But like, I'm like, okay, here's data and figures and facts of why this is a good decision and what the best decision is. Mm-hmm. And you just have to know how to harness where you're really good at.
Yeah. So let me tell you a very fast story that I think really drives this point home. I was meeting with a coach today, a UMAP coach, who's very relational. All her strengths are in the relating theme. She's not an influencer. She's very private and she's a listener, not a talker. And she said, I'm not sure how I'm going to grow my business when it's not me to just put myself out there on the internet. And I said, what I want you to do is create the ideal person that you want to talk to and bullet out who they are. Don't use LinkedIn then. Go on Instagram. She likes photography. So I said, leverage your photography and talk about your own values and the difference it's made in your life, knowing them, and take a picture to represent each of your 10 values and do a 10-part series using imagery and creativity, because that's who she is, to talk about how your life has changed, aligning your values. And remember, you're talking to this person you've bulleted out on the paper, and just talk to them. Ignore the other people on there who aren't like that person, because the people who see your message and say, I need to feel this way, they will be attracted to you. And she now sees a viable way to sell using Instagram that doesn't feel like selling. And I said, once you start having more clients as part of your program, they take their pictures and ask their permission to share their stories anonymously. And now you're just continuing to share these stories of transformation, and you're talking to that one person.
Which is great advice. And when I hear you talk about that, I'm thinking about people who break away from that scarcity. I need to serve everyone. I need to find everyone. Everyone might be my client, versus like, here is my tribe. There's 8 billion people on the planet. The goal isn't for each one of us to have everybody. The goal is for each one of us to have our segment and influence and support and care for and nurture our group. And then you have your group, and somebody else has their group, and we are all doing our part. It's not to dominate everybody.
No, I get people all the time trying to convince me that they could set up these sales funnel emails for me. And I'm like, you don't understand. There is a certain person who becomes a UMAP coach. They're always heart-centered people who care about others. They're people who have a mission, who care about making a difference. Those are the types of people who are attracted to my program. People who want to help people transform their lives and just be happy. These are not people who are like, ooh, I can add this service and I can charge $2,500 more for my package and really level up into the deep six figures. Like, those are not the people who get certified in UMAP. And so I say to people who try to convince me to do this push marketing with these funnels and everything, I'm like, that's not my business model. Nope. And I know the people that I'm trying to reach, and I'm reaching them just fine in a human way without annoying them with emails.
And I think that's important, right? And also the self-awareness and the joy in understanding who your audience is, who your target is. Everyone has something different. And then being secure enough to know that and confident enough to know, like, here's who I speak with, right? And I have clients who have different companies that do different things, and they all have their own audience, their own person. Sometimes funnels don't work. But you just got to know and not be excited by the shiny new thing that seems like it could be the golden ticket. If it doesn't apply to you, it will never work long-term anyway.
Yeah, Allegra Stein, she calls this the coaching industrial complex, where consultants and coaches are told, like, you need to start building your business and building your funnels and doing all of these things without even stopping. It's like she uses a bakery analogy, that people try to get people to go build their bakery without getting their ingredients and seeing, what kind of a baker am I first?
Yeah, and then doesn't matter. Just get a bakery.
Yeah, you just need a bakery. Just sell bagels. You need bagels. Bagels sell.
Yeah. What you bake is the easy part. You just go make a bakery. That's the six figures. That's it. What is your definition of success?
So that's definitely rooted in your values. So my number one value is love and connection. So when people in my life feel loved by me and I feel loved by them, that is, if I'm traveling too much and I feel disconnected from people I love, I know I'm not on the path to success. So that's the number one thing. My number two value is autonomy. So when I know that other people are not controlling my outcomes or controlling what I'm working on, that is success. And my third value is making a difference in people's lives. So when I get feedback that people's lives are transformed, that is my success. Nothing in my success formula has anything to do with money. Does that follow? It does. But that is not how I gauge success. If I was making deep seven figures and I couldn't see how people's lives were changed, that would be empty for me.
I love it. I totally can relate, and it makes sense. When you were a kid growing up, what is it that you wanted to do? Where did you think your life was going to go?
I wanted to be a police officer when I was a little kid, because my dad was a police officer. And he was like, it's a terrible job. You don't want to do that. My father is very high in responsibility and in empathy. And so that was a very difficult 31 years for him, being an accountable person that had empathy. He had this constant inner battle. Yeah. Then as I got older, I wanted to be a doctor. So I actually did go to college for neuroscience. But then when I had an informational interview with the neurologist, I was like, I liked the studies, but the actual day-to-day was not like dissecting brains was fun. I loved dissecting brains and identifying cranial nerves, but I was like missing Christmas with my family because somebody fell and hit their head and I got to rush in. Yeah, I didn't. He said, do you want to have kids? Do you want to get married? Because this career isn't really very conducive to family life. And remember what I told you my number one value was? Right. Love and connection with people I care about. I didn't know that was my value at the time, but that value felt violated when he told me what his day-to-day was like.
Makes sense. Last question, the destination or the journey?
Oh, absolutely the journey. Because you know what? The mysteries of life are beautiful. You get taken on these unexpected turns. And if you get hung up on your destination, you miss the beauty of those mysteries of life. I could not have planned the destination of where I was, and I would have really missed the boat.
Yeah, love it. Kristen, thanks for being on the Authentic Persuasion Show. So I know that you're super active on LinkedIn. For anyone that wants to find you on there, Kristen Sherry. MyUMAP.com is your main site for that. You also have KristenSherry.info. Anywhere else, does that cover it for you?
No, you did your research. Well done, Jason. You're a sales guy.
Well, I love the stuff you're doing, and I want to be an ambassador for that as well because I know how valuable that is in the self-awareness piece that most people are missing. So I appreciate it. Thanks for being on the show. Thanks for sharing this. And thanks for doing what you're doing to help transform people within the world.
It was a pleasure, a wonderful way to spend my evening.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.